This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I'm joined, as always, by Alan Clark. And this is the podcast where we talk about the trials and tribulations of running your own business. I'm an accountant. Alan is a business coach, and we are well placed to talk to business owners and business leaders about kind of all the stuff that causes you stress and stops you sleeping at night. That's pretty much it, isn't it, Alan?
Absolutely. And the absolute truth here is owning and running your own business is challenging. It is challenging.
It's the last thing I think of when I go to sleep and the first thing I think of when I wake up. Right? It's like having another child. And it's much more needy than my actual children. And that's how I see the business, which might sum up the business more than the business owner, but we shall see. So what are we talking about today, Alan?
Well, we've mentioned there that running your own business is really challenging. So why would anyone do it? And of course, why you would do it is because it is entirely possible to create significant financial advantages, wealth from your business. So what we're going to do today is talk about cash flow. We've looked back at some previous episodes. We have actually done an episode called Cash Flow Masterclass, which I must admit, you were the brains behind it. But that was back in February 21. We have been going for that long, believe it or not.
And the world's very different.
It is very different. That was still very much in the grips of COVID. The world is very different. New people have come into business. There's new challenges out there, etc. But fundamentally, what I hear, what you hear is still very much the perennial struggle with cash flow. And we want to help as many people as possible to get ahead of the curve when it comes to cash flow. So we thought we'd revisit this subject.
Yeah, I think that's entirely sensible, mainly because it's the conversation I have more than any other with my clients. And the world has moved on since COVID, but it's not moved into a place where dealing with your business's cash flow is any easier. In fact, for some businesses, it's entirely more difficult now running a business with effective cash flow than it's ever been. So shall we very quickly rehash the masterclass? Because that was five points, basically.
So summarize it rather than rehash it.
Summarize is the proper word, right? So we talked about back then five simple things you can do, any business owner can do, to improve and strengthen your cash flow. So number one is to bill on time every time, as in the window of opportunity to get yourself paid is at its highest immediately following you delivering the work. So if you're a plumber, you fixed the leaking radiator, your esteem with your customer is at its highest at that point when you walk out the door. They're really happy. They've got the product they want. You give them a bill then, they will pay it then. If you give it them 3 weeks later, it's a steady slide down. Their appreciation of your product starts to dwindle the further away from the delivery point that it becomes. So if you wait 6 weeks to invoice someone, it's not that you've now done a poor job compared with a good job and therefore they're not going to pay you, but A, it's been 6 weeks before you could have got paid because you've invoiced so far after the date, and then you're not top of their priority list because you've already waited 6 weeks, they may wait another.
I once heard a phrase that I think is relevant to that. Enthusiasm has a half-life.
Oh, 100%. I love that. That's a much more eloquent way of saying what I said. So yes, enthusiasm has a half-life. Bill on time. The best time to bill is immediately following the work being done, because that's the most likelihood is you'll get paid straight away. Number two was to look at the terms that you do business under. So many businesses default to being paid on 30 days because that's what everyone does, but actually it isn't. So you need to understand that if you're billing on 30 days, it's going to be 30 days till you get your money. And if you need your money in 7 days, you can pay your suppliers in 14, then you need to change the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, it is your game. It's your rules. So don't just default to 30 because everyone else does. There may be, depending on who you deal with, if you're dealing with, I don't know, Tesco's as a customer, they may enforce their own terms on you and there's not much you can do. But for the majority of businesses, you can demand cash up front, cash on delivery, cash in 7 days, 30 days, whatever you want. It's your rules to decide. And obviously they have a massive impact on how quickly you get paid.
Massive.
Right. Number three is to use technology effectively. And I think we'll talk a bit more about this in a bit. But billing your clients in a way that allows them to push a button and put their card details and pay you is likely to get you paid quicker than one where they've got to ring you up and get your bank details, or they've got, you know, write you a check or whatever, you know, sort of old-fashioned ways of getting paid, basically. So use technology effectively. And again, if you use something like Xero, not only can you bill your customers through the cloud and instantly deliver it to them, but you can see if they've opened the invoice, so you can prove that they've received it and you don't get any of that nonsense about them not getting it. And you can set the system to auto-remind them the day before it's due, the day after it's due, etc. So technology effectively is important. Point four is to chase the debt effectively. So the best time to chase an invoice is the day before it's due, to make sure that they've got it on the payment when it's ready to go. The next best time to chase it is the day after it's due. And what you need to be is politely ruthless about it.
Yeah.
So don't give up. Don't get fobbed off. Be the one that's on the phone. As soon as an invoice is overdue, be on the phone the next day, because your customers will learn that you're not the supplier that they mess around with, because you'll always be on the phone. You don't need to be nasty. You don't need to go legal or anything like that. You just need to be consistent and effective, and you'll get paid more often than not. And then finally, the fifth step to better cash flow is to actually forecast your cash flow. So have a, so you forecasting your cash flow in your business, Alan?
I'm not sure you are.
No. So what we're talking about here is like a spreadsheet that we give out free of charge to all of our customers. It's a weekly spreadsheet that you fill in that tracks all the money coming in, all the money that's due to go out, and allows you to plot what your cash balance is going to be at any given point along the next 6 months. And then you can make better decisions, understanding where your cash flow is going to be, and also not panic if it, you know, everyone's got a buffer that they don't like to be below, whether it's 5,000 or 50,000. And you get this background level of stress if your bank account's running below whatever that buffer is. And if you write it down, if it goes in your cash flow and you know that you're going to be below that buffer, but it's for 3 weeks until this bill gets paid, it has a massive impact on your kind of background stress. So we recommend all clients monitor their cash flow weekly. We do it in our business, and it's massive for taking away that pressure around cash flow. And it also focuses your mind that if you need to chase these three debts in by next week to pay your VAT bill, you'll go and chase them in, whereas otherwise you'll just wait and see what happens, right? So that's the 5 points we talked about back in February 21. A, does any of that resonate with you, Alan, and your customers? And B, what do we need to talk about now to move that conversation forwards?
I mean, all of it resonates, and it is brilliant to reconnect with it. And these are five things that any business owner right now can strengthen.
100%.
So that's what I love about it. I loved it back in February 21, love it back now. I think as well is that, which is that bit you said right at the end about the stress, you know, that all five aspects that you've said can be worked on positively, can be progressed. So from a performance perspective, you can have more money into your business. Your business and you can be wealthier, and well-being follows performance, so you feel better. So conversely, you can be poorer and a lot more stressed if these five things are, say, red. Imagine it's red, amber, green.
Yeah.
If we rag them and you've got five reds, you're going to be poorer than you should be, and you're going to be more stressed than you should be.
And then your decision-making,
it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Because you're full of cortisol, blah, blah, blah. But if you work on that, get clear, work it out, act on, move it to amber, to green, you're wealthier, your business is stronger, and you're less stressed. And this is why I think it's so important that we talk about this today.
100%. And also, I'm having the conversation I'm having with customers is that it's definitely, whatever industry you're in, it is more difficult to get paid now than it was 2 years ago. Even height of COVID, when businesses were closing and it was all lots of stress and very much an uncertain world that everyone was living in, I remember saying on that podcast back then, The fundamental position is small businesses don't like to owe money to other small businesses. And so most of the time, your bill not being paid is not because they fundamentally don't want to pay it, or even that they can't pay it, but that it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. It's just not made it to the top of someone's list to actually pay. And it's not that they don't want to pay or they can't afford. They just haven't got around to it. And that's why everything to make it easy and effortless for your customer to pay you is what speeds it up. I think that's a bit different now. And I think there are a lot more businesses that are struggling and that they are unable to, you know, they're not paying you, not because of lack of effort, but because they don't have the funds or they're not comfortable. You know, they've only got X amount left. They're below that buffer that we talked about, that they're not comfortable. They're not throwing any money out unless they have to. So we're definitely seeing businesses having to be a bit more robust in their enforcement of their terms. So we've had lots of conversations with businesses about getting a proportion paid up front now.
Okay.
So give your customers, you know, if you've got customers that are consistently bad payers, or you're getting that feeling that they are struggling themselves, then you limit your exposure by saying, you know what, we still want to work with you, but we can't have a position where you owe us $5,000 and we're stressing that we're going to get it. So the next order you place, we want all of it up front or a big percentage of it in cash up front before we're going to release any goods or services.
So that's definitely becoming a more common conversation.
I think, yeah, certainly is. Because your job as a business owner is to protect your cash flow.
Yeah.
And I had a pushback from a client I had this conversation with about a month ago. And I said to her, this is what you need to do, because this customer's always paid you late for the last 18 months. And it's always a big chunk and it's always stressful because they're the ones. It always seems to be their bill is the one that's paying our VAT bill at the end of the quarter. And they promise it and promise it and promise it. And then it doesn't come in and it causes this lady a lot of stress. So I said, well, what you want to do is tell them to pay you up front. And you won't, because we're sending product to them as well. We don't want to ship anything until they've paid for it. She said, oh, well, they might not buy anything.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing, because the risk there is zero. You can find your product sells to other people, so you can find someone else to buy it. But what you're not going to be in a position where you've sent £5,000.
But you've hit on something huge. That's a big fear.
Yeah.
For so many businesses, that the customer will bin them off if they get a wee bit.
But they're not a good customer. It's not.
No, I know. I'm with you. I am sitting the same side of the table as you right now as we speak. But that's a real fear.
Yeah. But it's one that you're better off. What we want to do is limit the risk. And there is no risk of not getting paid if we don't do business with them in the first place. So for sure, moving the goalposts of your terms for certain customers is a difficult conversation to have. But if you explain it in purely business terms, I tell you, blame your accountant. Say, my accountant's been looking at this with me and he's told me I'm not allowed to do this unless I do that. And I'm happy to take the blame. If it protects my customers' businesses, happy to be the bad guy. So that's a conversation we're having a lot. We're also having a conversation with business owners about the technology that drives payments. So we talked a bit about this in the masterclass, about using Xero effectively. There's a step on from that where you can, for example, set up Stripe or PayPal as a tool within Xero or QuickBooks or any of the other accounting tools, so that your customers get an invoice with a button on it that's basically the green button that says pay now. And again, there's two reasons why that will help you get paid more than just sending an invoice with your bank details. Number one is that back to that ease of use scenario, right? So you can click a button rather than have to go into online banking. It means it can be happening here now rather than whenever I'm next to online banking. It also means if they pick up on a phone, they can double tap and Apple Pay or Google Pay. It's even quicker, right? So that's the first reason why they're effective. The second one is businesses that are struggling for cash flow, the first step before not paying your invoice is to put your invoice on a credit card, right? So they can then, it helps their cash flow because it pushes it down the road a bit. From your point of view, you don't care a fig because you've been paid. They obviously can't very easily give their card, they can't pay you on credit card if all you've given them is your bank details.
Yes.
So using Stripe or PayPal or any of these electronic gateways means that they can make that credit card payment. So you get paid in 2 days rather than instantly, but we'll take getting paid in 2 days compared with not getting paid at all. Now, it has obviously an impact on your customers' cash flow, but we're not, that's not our problem. But yeah, using technology to allow your customers to pay you in a variety of ways makes a massive difference. You can also do like we do, we use GoCardless as a direct debit system. That works slightly differently, but that gives you the ability to collect automatically payments on their due date. GoCardless will just take it by direct debit. And if it fails, because it bounces, you can click a button and take it again in 2 days' time, or you can split it into installments and take it a third each week, or however you want to do it. And we found that's had a massive impact. We've had that with some of our clients where the direct debit's bounced and they rung me and said, oh, don't know what to do. It's, you know, it's just too big a chunk to come out in one go. What can we do? And we said, well, we can split it over 4 weeks instead of every month. And they're comfortable with that. Now, that normally then leads us to a separate conversation with our client about cash flow and helping them budget it. But basically, we're in a world where whatever we can do to get ourselves paid is a positive, and using these tools allow us to make it easy for our customers to pay us.
Which is huge, and actually I'm not meaning to play the well-being card here all the time, but from a well-being perspective, you're really helping your clients, you're really looking after them. They're paying you. And you're lifting a lot of stress for you.
Well, that's it, because this is, there is, again, and I don't think this is, like, we do business in Oxford, which is a small city, and every business owner knows every business owner. And I think your reputation, most business owners don't want to have a reputation as not paying people. And so not being able to pay John the printer, who everyone else knows, is a cause of stress for business owners. And it's, you know, John may not care. Like, John might be quite happy and, you know, not talking to anybody and it's not a problem. But that perception that I've not paid him and I owe him causes stress. So again, helping our customers whatever way they can to pay us is a positive. And then the final thing I wanted to talk about is financing debt. So do you have any customers that are factoring or doing invoice discounting?
Not that I know of, but I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they, yeah, lots. It's a bit of a stigma about it. So for those that don't know, invoice discounting and factoring are two kind of sides of the same coin. But what that basically is financing your individual sales invoices. So it's quite common in certain industries where you kind of, we've got a large food manufacturing business that only deals with the supermarkets, and they have a business where they have to buy hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of ingredients every month, pay their staff every week, and Tesco's and Sainsbury's and those guys pay them every 60 days. And so there's a lag where when it first takes off and Sainsbury's go from ordering 300,000 a month to 500,000 a month, we have to front load all the cost of production. And if you do that on scale, and this is scaling up quite quickly, there's not enough cash rolling through the system to allow you to fund all those costs up front. And that's where a business would use one of these invoice financing systems to basically unlock the capital that's sat in their sort of debtor's book. So the way it works, you send an invoice to your customer for, I don't know, £10,000. The bank effectively, you upload that invoice to the system. So you send it to your customer, then upload it to their system, and they immediately give you 80% of that invoice in cash. And then when it gets paid by your customer, as long as it's within 90 days, when they get paid by your customer, they give you the balance less their fee. And it's relatively expensive considering you're only financing each debt for probably 60, 70 days, but it unlocks a huge amount of cash. So for my customer that's maybe billing Sainsbury's £250,000 a month, they get best part of 200,000 in cash every month, which is enough to cover their bills. And then their profit comes along.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, it's massively helpful. And it means your cash flow is predictable. As long as you're delivering this much product every month, we know we're going to be able to bank this much cash every month. And then we have to rely on the credit control team to make sure it's paid within 90 days. And this is, there are issues with invoice discounting that from our customer's point of view, they've got 80% of it, so they kind of don't care. But the bank, as soon as it goes over 90 days, they withhold that whole balance from the next set of invoices you upload. So you need to make sure that your credit control team are getting things paid. And that's the difference between invoice discounting, where you control the credit control, and factoring, where the bank control it. And if the bank team are rubbish, then you could end up with a position where you're suddenly sticking a load of invoices into the system, but they're not being paid. So it comes with its pitfalls. It's expensive day to day. It's relatively expensive rather than taking a loan, but it's obviously much more flexible, much more instant, and it grows with your business. But it's hard to get out of because you kind of need to buy yourself. You need to, it's kind of at any one point, you could be funding 80% of a month's turnover or 2 months' turnover. It's a big figure. So don't just willy-nilly jump into it. But if you've got, if you're business to business, because it doesn't work business to consumer, so you need to be business to business, and you need to be selling to relatively diverse customer base. If you're just selling to one business, you won't be able to invoice discount because all the finance company's eggs are in that one company's basket. So if they go pop, the invoice discounters are on the hook the same as you. Whereas if it's spread around 100 businesses, it spreads their risk. So there's things to think about before going in, but using that as a tool, if you're business to business and you've got customers that are consistently late paying, invoice discounting or factoring is a useful tool to sort of slot into your armory. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very useful.
It is useful. It's used to have a massive stigma. It used to be the only businesses that factored were the ones that were about to go pop, and the bank have stuck it in there to try and make a bit of money out of them before. And you kind of got businesses that are sort of limping towards liquidation. It's certainly not like that anymore. Because the market's kind of opened up and there's lots of challenger banks that are running it well with a kind of different focus. But it's
support to help growth.
Exactly that, to fund growth rather than to protect cash, which was the original way. So that's the conversations that we're having around cash flow. Are you having cash flow conversations with customers?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot, you know, and certainly every single one of your 5 points comes in, you know, cash flow coming or not coming because a supplier of a supplier hasn't paid and then and they're stuck, so they're having to wait. Business loans, emergency investments. What did you say? Yeah, the whole terms. Yep. 30 days, that's an absolute belter. I helped a client of mine, not necessarily renegotiate, she did that herself, but help her to see if it's possible to renegotiate, and she was stuck with something like 75 days and got it to 30.
And that's massive. That's an extra month's bankings in a year.
And it was significant money. You know, it was a chunk of cash that was coming to her, but wasn't there, and then that was causing pain because it wasn't there, and there was other bills to pay. Then suddenly this gets released, and going forward it'll come in. So, I think the word we like to use quite a lot in this call is clarity. You know, get having clarity on your cash flow. If that is a budgeted forecasting tool that's looking at your bank balance, if it's on to zero, whatever that may be, looking at what's still to come in, what's out there, but getting a real sense. And, you know, that clarity really helps then for you to make creative decisions, predominantly within the five that you've said, to strengthen it. So I think you can always strengthen your cash flow, which is a wonderful thing to be able to do.
100%. It's definitely tricky about the limiting your risk. I think it's the last thing then I'd like to talk about is understanding how much all of your customers owe you at any point. So reviewing in your account system, there'll be an aged debtors report. Understanding what that is telling you, having your bookkeeping up to date so you can monitor who owes you what and at any given point and what's overdue, and being comfortable enough in your own skin to say, you know what, you already owe me £5,000. I'm not comfortable putting any more on your account until you pay that invoice or this invoice or clear your account up to this point. And I think small business owners are very guilty, and I'm just the same, of kind of throwing bad money after good, or good money after bad, whichever way around it is. But letting a situation you're not, you think, they feel a bit dodgy, you know, it looks like that business is struggling, and then have no problem selling them thousands of pounds worth of something, thinking that it'll all be okay and they'll get paid in the end. And that's the bit that it's always that one that comes and bites you on the bum. So go with your gut. If you've got concerns about a business, don't just put them on hold or get a payment before you deliver something.
I love what you said right at the start. I've never heard of that. Is that, you know, there is no risk when you don't sell or you don't do business. Yeah. You've eliminated the risk. And I don't think that's common thinking.
But it's not. It's
really wise.
Yeah, it comes back to that. It's your game and your rules. And if they came to you and said, I want you to deliver all of this work, but I'm not going to pay you anything, would you do the work?
You'd probably say no.
You'd say no, 100%. So if they've got a record of not paying you or having to be held, you know, you've got to hold their feet to the fire every time to get them to pay you, at some point you need to say, you know what? And you know, I'm for full clarity here, whilst I'm actually saying this, I'm thinking of a customer of mine that has paid me late every month for the last 15 months and I need to have this conversation. So it's not, you know, it's not every, we're not sat here in our kind of ivory towers. It's the same for everybody. But yeah, 100%. If they're not paying you, then you're better off putting your energy into something else, right? Perfect. Well, that sounds like the end of the podcast then.
I think it is.
We've run out of things to say.
No, but I mean, that's 30 minutes of what you would say is podcast gold. But, you know, ton of wisdom there, absolute ton of wisdom that every single business can strengthen. These 5 points, measure your company against it, measure your organization, measure yourself, truthfully answer the question, are you red, green, amber, are you 1 out of 10, 10 out of 10, whatever that may be, and then get clear on the actions required to move it up the scale, and you've strengthened your company overnight.
Perfect. Okay, well, on that note, we will call it a day and we will be back next week with more podcast gold. But for now, that's all from me and that's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.